We kick off hour number two, Football Friday edition. Guarantee 3 and out. This edition brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online, tvacreditunion.com. It's the official credit union of 3 and out, the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Go to the phone lines. G3 Help Me Hotline, 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. We got Matt up next. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Ballard.
What's going on, guys?
Yeah, we're talking about them recruits.
We're just trying to get to Saturday.
The Eagles, that album, wasn't that Hell Freezes Over? That's kind of the whole big deal with them. They weren't going to get back together till Hell Freezes Over.
I'm not sure. I'm not a big Eagles guy. I mean, I like them.
Yeah, I'm not either, but
my mom can answer that. She loves the Eagles.
Yeah, my sister's a huge Eagles fan, but yeah, I'm not the biggest. But I'm almost positive that's either the name of the album or that was kind of a big deal with those guys. Is
Fly, Eagles,
but it
fly.
Just mirrors kind of the next time. You know, it's about the same thing, though, for us. We win a next championship, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, when hell freezes over, absolutely.
You know, if you take the last three coaches, I mean, heck, take Spurrier, Holtz, and Muschamp, and you take Pruitt and Butch and Dooley, who would you guys take 3 versus 3?
Dooley.
No, I mean as a whole, just all three. Like, would you much rather have the South Carolina coaches?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. In fact, that doesn't sound like a bad staff, really.
Yeah.
Muschamp runs the defense.
Might take him right now.
Muschamp runs the defense. Yeah. Spurrier runs the offense. Lou Holtz, head coach. Oh, man. Getting the guys fired up for the game. In a bizarro world, when you can pick all those guys at their prime, you're winning natties.
Shoot, I'd take Spurrier right now, dude.
How about Spurrier? We joke about this in the breaks all the time. What about Bob Stoops as head coach? Spurrier runs the offense. They're buddies.
They are buddies. And old Spurrier's got them Johnson City ties.
He's got land here, I think.
Doesn't everybody have land? I think every college coach has land in Sevier County somewhere.
It really is amazing.
It's a good investment.
I mean, like, Jim Chaney has a house, like, in Dandridge. Gruden has a house somewhere. Mm-hmm. Hugh Freeze might or might not have made love to his wife in Neyland Stadium. Like,
right on the tee. Yeah.
But yet we get stuck with all these no-name doo-doo heads, man.
It's not orange blood. I mean, it's not orange blood in Hugh Freeze's body. It's orange paint on his body.
Hey,
what's that stain there? You, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, man. Do you guys think realistically, if we get blown out in this game and the guys quit at halftime and it's just ugly as all get out, there's a chance he could get let go?
I mean, if you're looking for something before the season, I don't see it. I don't see a situation where Fulmer will let him go after this game.
Even if players quit and it's just as ugly as can be, like I'm talking just, you know, brutal, you know, you can obviously tell, you know, players spotting on the sideline, just some worst case scenario.
I'd say maybe.
Which is what I'm hoping for.
Oh, man. I'd say maybe. I mean, if it's that bad, Matt, like it'd be worse to let it go on.
It needs to be the 45-3 type game. Like that was Muschamp's. And although it still took them one more week after that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, after that, Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I mean, if that happens against Auburn and then you just lose to Vanderbilt, even if it's kind of close, like, couldn't that be it? Just like, hey.
Oh, I would.
We can't roll with this guy into Florida.
Yeah.
We might not even play A&M.
I don't know if that game's going to happen with how everything's going. I tell you, man, if it's. Everything's kind of pushing the way it's going. You might not have these bowl games, thank God. I don't want to. I mean, who's going to go to a 2-10? I mean, what bowl game is. They're going to have to make up a bowl, right? I mean, how in the world are we going to go to a bowl game?
I don't know that we will because I think while the criteria doesn't matter, I think maybe half the bowls are just like, yeah, COVID, we're not doing it this year. We'll come back next year.
Yeah.
So the amount of bowls available versus the amount of teams that have had a good season and want to play might just kind of like be an equilibrium where it just kind of evens out and then they play them.
I don't think the Texas A&M game happens, and I believe the evidence that we tried to go and get Georgia to come up here and play is further proof of the administration didn't think it's going to happen or doesn't think it'll end up happening.
Right. Yeah.
So the indelible mark of Jeremy, let's say he gets to coach it all out, Matt, and like we get to see JG getting rocked in the back, fumbling for touchdowns as in Neyland Stadium to Florida, because they got to put on style points so they make sure they get into the playoff. That'll be great.
That's what exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, Dan Mullen fake punt up 40 in the fourth.
Yeah, yeah. And I hope it happens, man. I really do. I hate that we're here, man.
Me too.
I hate that we're here. But this is what it's become. And we're at the point now, you know, this all happened with Butch, where the fan base was divided. You've got the homers on the other side that are criticizing people like me, and you've got people like me, and we're just split, and that's where we're at, and that's where, you know, we were here 4 years ago. The problem then was we let it linger for a whole nother season, and we'll probably do it this time. Alex told you guys yesterday, the fastest route to us getting rid of this guy, I'm all for it, so... So let's see, man. I'm kind of looking forward to. I might call. I usually don't get a chance to call in voluntary, but I might on this one, guys. If I really think this is going to be I think this is going to be the needle in the coffin. I think it's going to be ugly. See, fellas.
See, Matt.
Nail in the coffin.
Could be a needle.
Needle in the haystack.
What is a nail but a big needle?
Needles are hollow.
Yeah.
Well, some are.
I didn't know that.
Huh?
I didn't know needles were hollow.
How do you think you inject stuff through a needle?
I'm thinking of a sewing needle.
Okay, that's why I said some are hollow, some are not.
Yeah, he was thinking needle, haystack, which is a sewing needle.
Right.
Yeah, you wouldn't have a injection needle in a haystack, would you?
Maybe if it's like a meth.
Only in saw.
I was about to say in Oregon.
Only in saw four, whatever
meth,
that movie
a meth
was.
Barn.
They had all those needles in the
oh, that streets was, of LA. That, I hated that one. It's creepy.
Troy tweets in, says Tennessee has single-handedly destroyed his love of college football. He's never been more disinterested.
Watch Tulsa.
Come on, the bandwagon is open.
The bandwagon.
Join intern Alex.
You are welcome to hop on. Watch us make incredible comebacks every week.
That's got to be so enjoyable.
It's a lot of fun.
You don't feel good until you get down 14-0?
He was betting on him to win when they're down 14-0. It's the opposite of that feeling we have where we can't trust Tennessee ever. It's like, well, yeah, I know we're up 20, but I'm waiting on it. I'm waiting on the pick six. I'm waiting on the fumble. I'm waiting on the, you know, bad snap or something.
Those odds get down to like, or get up to like plus 450. Throw 10 bucks
in
there.
And that's when you make your move.
Yeah.
Right there.
Here's the problem with what Matt's saying. Like, I mean, he's like, how bad does that have to be to fire him this week? In terms of the, like, landscape of college football, he's not really on even the firing radar for some of these people.
Nope.
In fact, somebody just tweeted us our favorite CBS writer, Dennis Dodd's new hot seat list. And I haven't gotten to Pruitt yet, but I don't, you know, they were already complaining that how is he not, you know, higher up on the chart?
Do they know something? Do they know he's safe?
Do you believe Doug Matthews?
I think maybe right now he's telling the truth. I also think that can change. It's like recruiting, right? You know, oh, this guy's a lock. He's definitely coming here. Look how many times he said he's coming here, and then he changes his mind. Like, I mean, whatever Fulmer thought 2 weeks ago, I think he can absolutely change his mind over the next four games. Right? I mean, it's fluid.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought this season that we would be here.
Oh, Jeremy Pruitt's not even in the article.
Fascinating.
Yeah, how is that? So he's not even on the hot seat at all?
See,
I wonder that we're doing what we kind of complain about other people, like that we're kind of in this bubble that we've created of people that know what should be done.
Mm.
But that people outside of like kind of
takes them a little longer
like
to catch on.
Like our diehard Tennessee fandom club that we've kind of created here with Fan Run Radio and our social media presence and kind of all the people we come in contact with, that there's people outside of that realm that are just like, yeah, it's a bad season, but you know, COVID, and we just got to get through it, and we're doing the best we can. And I worry that the leadership at the University of Tennessee is out there thinking that way.
Yeah, I've kind of had that internal discussion with myself and just trying to figure out, am I just so narrowed in on my bubble or my echo chamber, as we kind of talk about? And I tried to take a step outside of it, and I heard from some people, again, like, they're not within the university. I tried to, obviously, the national media, we don't really care that much, but they're not to the point of thinking Jeremy Pruitt's on the hot seat. But again, a lot can change in a month whenever you have some big games and then you lose to, let's say you lose to Vanderbilt, or it's super close. And I hope the administration wakes up, and I at least have a little bit of faith that people get vocal enough, things can happen. And their numbers are public record.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the problem is sometimes the big donors don't follow the actual, like, evidence the way diehard fans do. And so if you just only deal with those people, kind of a la John Curry, then you kind of get – I mean, our hope was that Philip Fulmer, out of any AD you could hire, while he might be inexperienced in lots of areas, at least on the coaching side – especially with football, hopefully he sees this team and goes, man, we are not well coached. And as long as he's paying attention,
he should recognize that.
He should. And so that's kind of where I am, and that's what I guess gives me some level of hope that at least he has Jeremy Pruitt close to correctly graded here.
Right. That's where I'm at too. Like, John Curry didn't care. Couldn't draw up a cup, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no football brain whatsoever. He's looking at the bottom line. He's looking at dollar bills. At least Fulmer can watch this team and, you know, accurately say, well coached, poorly coached, well developed, underdeveloped, so on and so forth. That's the one good thing about, you know, hiring a former coach as your athletic director. Well, right, one of the good things, I suppose.
Let's get Bear in here, Davey. What's he mad about today?
He seemed pretty calm whenever I got him on the line.
No, Bear, are you happy today?
Yeah. Why wouldn't I be? I'm alive.
Well, that's good. Glad you're alive. Sun's
shining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
My life's gotten very simple. I don't care. I sometimes wonder if we're the lunatic fringe.
Yeah.
That's what I worry about.
I mean, are people looking at Tennessee's schedule right now saying, well, this is really just two bad games, no big deal?
Nah. Nah. I mean, you got a house by Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
In your front yard. In front of everybody. Everybody's out in the neighborhood. And Kentucky came, drug you out of your house, and beat you in the front yard in front of God and everybody. And that's not a good Kentucky team. Let's not kid ourselves, boys.
No, not at all. Like, that's the thing about this year, too, Bear. Like, you don't have the padded back schedule to, like, even salvage this thing. Like, you've blown it.
You don't have your three bye wins.
Yeah, exactly.
To fluff your schedule and make it look better.
You don't have that, and then, I mean, look at your next opponents that are scheduled. Yeah, Vanderbilt, sure, but Auburn, A&M, and Florida? Are you kidding me? That is not Missouri, Kentucky, and last year's South Carolina team, or Mississippi State. Like, that's what everyone's like, oh, well, he can save it, he can turn it around. I don't think, not with this schedule.
Well, you're playing two teams that are fighting like hell to get into the playoff.
Yeah.
And then the third one, you've got a head coach who, say what you want about him, but, you know, he's coaching to keep, I'm sure he'd like to stay at Auburn.
Sure.
I mean, they're insane down there.
And he mentioned it in his teleconference on, I think, Monday or Tuesday. Like, oh, yeah, they beat us here a couple years ago. Like, we've got, like, he wants revenge on Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah, there's no love lost between Malzahn and Pruitt.
Exactly.
At all. And probably Chad Morris either. I don't know. Coaches in the league seem either, you know Pruitt and like him, and then the others seem to, like, really dislike him a lot.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, are you guys Freezeites? Like, Russell's gone around the bend on me. It's kind of turned me off from the Hugh Freeze hire.
Why is that?
He does this deal. They carry on. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
So you're out on Freeze?
No, I'm not out on him at all.
Oh, okay.
I'm just not willing to, you know. Let him date my sister the way Russell is.
Oh, gotcha, yeah. No, I mean, I think that would be a really good hire.
He's married.
I think there are several. That doesn't matter to Hugh Freeze.
Just got yeah. out there for that reason.
Meaningless facts, really, for Hugh Freeze. I mean, I think it'd be a good hire. The guy's proven he can win in the SEC. He's proven at Liberty he can take leftovers and put together a really good team.
I mean, he flipped that roster pretty quick over there. You know?
Yeah.
But I feel like we do this every time.
What, get your hopes up for one guy and it never
falls through? Yeah, it's just, yeah, and it's just completely unrealistic at the end of the day after you get done with it. I don't know. I'm somewhat jaded because of the whole, you know, the groomers and...
Sure.
I mean, just watching is, you know, people I know love and respect and just gobble down that Kool-Aid like they were in the desert. That was never happening here.
No. It was fun to talk about, though.
Yeah, you guys just took it a little too far.
Easy. Easy.
Come on.
He only wanted $10 million a year.
That wasn't going to happen.
Raiders
gave it to him. I won a lot of money off guys at the station. I covered all those bets.
Mm.
Anyhow, I mean, I don't know. So we don't make up that A&M game. I mean, can Corona save this guy? I just dread bringing him back for the dreaded fourth year of failure.
No, that'd be awful.
Yeah, and then I'm assuming, right, if you bring him back, like, there's going to be, like, a staff overhaul.
Oh, yeah. We'll get the next Chico Canales to coach something. It'll be awful.
Yeah, that's what we promote. See,
here's my position on that, yeah. Is you're going to have to give those that track anybody with any kind of remotely talented coaches, you're going to have to give them guaranteed at least 2-year contract.
Right.
Oh, I'd say they'd want 3.
So, I mean, out of all of us, Nate, I mean, you're the business guy, obviously. Why would you add all that to the ledger when you're probably at a 50-50 at a coin flip whether or not you're going to keep this guy
exactly.
and the staff next year?
You got to fire him. You have to. I mean, he needs to win 3 out of 4. And show that like he needs to be a different football coach tomorrow, for you know what I mean. Like there has to be, he needs to have a come to Jesus moment, walk in with his coaching staff. Hopefully he did it Wednesday or Thursday this week and say, look guys, I've been doing some soul searching. I've realized that this part of the style of my of me being a head coach is not working. That's my fault. I'm sorry. Here are things I'm going to do differently. I hope that you know he needs to have like a clean slate moment with his guys.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
There's some things that some of you guys do that I don't particularly like, and I haven't done a good job of telling you guys that that's not up to our standards. If you'll forgive some of the stuff I've done that I probably shouldn't have, I'm going to forgive you. We're going to start over. I mean, basically like a team meeting from the top down,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to actually execute that. I have zero faith that any of that is happening.
None.
But,
no.
Right, none.
I mean, we are talking about a guy that, I mean, he ran one of the best D-line coaches in the country out of here. And I'm becoming more and more convinced that if you see who he just really can't stand and runs off, it's the Auburn guys.
Hmm.
That whole Alabama. It's weird, man. You ran off. I don't care if Tracy Rocker never. I don't care if Tracy Rocker never left, you know, the facility. Well, one of the best D-line coaches in the nation.
Well, apparently, Pruitt and him talked about how he wasn't going to recruit that much because, you know, he that was kind of part of the deal. And then
he's Pruitt, an old dude.
Yeah, and then Pruitt got annoyed by that.
He let him go to Nashville to watch the NCAA tournament game for his son. He was pitching.
He let a grown-ass man drive to Nashville to watch his son play in the – this guy's an idiot, man. They got to fire him. So I don't know if it happens, but I mean, you can't keep him from any standpoint.
Yeah, and I think your point's really good, man. Like if you do keep him, you have to rework the staff. But if you rework the staff and that doesn't work, I mean, how much more money now do you owe him? Like that's just
you don't
that's
think the word's out on this chump.
That's what I'm saying. But you're still gonna have to pay him. Whoever it is, so that's what I'm saying. Like, you're going to go out, you're going to get less than coaches.
Yeah.
Or you're going to have to pay a ton of money for good coaches and then pay them when they get fired.
Either that or just guys with thick skin that are willing to come work for this maniac in
Yeah, another
get
year
paid
and go
handsomely
else.
For 2 years, and then, you know, laugh about it, go somewhere else, and be set financially for, you know. I mean, good Lord, it's like hitting the Powerball over there.
Mm-hmm.
God, boy, one of us needs to get a job on his staff. Yeah.
I think Nate could handle it.
Jeez. Couldn't stand it.
Yeah, there's no way.
Okay. Uh-uh. For the shot.
Smith could. He'll do anything. Anyhow, well, it's been great talking to you
guys. Hey, you got a prediction for tomorrow night, Bear? Or are you saving that for the drive?
That's on the way out the door at 5:56.
All right.
I'd usually drop my prediction.
What do you hope happens?
I don't know, man. I'll never pull against them.
Oh, really?
Ever. Can't do it. I went there one time. I did it with Dooley and Butch, if I'm being honest. And I don't want to do that anymore. I'm sick of being in this cycle.
Will your heart at some point tomorrow, like, flip on you? Like, your brain still says, I can't do it, but your heart's, like, tugging at you?
Oh, yeah, man. I'll be hoping, even if he does a stupid, you know, William Tell Archer routine, I'll still want to see it. Yeah. I hate Auburn.
Yeah, I do too.
I hate them.
Think with your heart, Bear, not your head.
I mean, I absolutely just despise Auburn. So, you guys are young. You don't remember. Auburn used to be our rival.
Yeah.
We played them every year.
Well, it'd be so Tennessee that when we need, like, to me, Auburn's the luckiest team in the SEC. Always has been. They've had the prayer in Jordan Hare. They've had that
kick six,
all that stuff. It would be our luck that when we want Auburn to get lucky to put us out of our misery, we get lucky and somehow win this game tomorrow. And then 2021 is the worst season to ever go through in the history of Tennessee football.
Pruitt does have a savant-like ability to shut Gus Malzahn's defense down. I've gone back and looked at him.
Mm-hmm.
Gus has never gotten—he's never gotten the best of Jeremy. You know, I don't know. I mean, new and improved Jeremy's pretty much a defensive dunce. So, anyhow, if anybody's out and about this afternoon, drive will be at Food City
on Morrell.
Terrapin Beer.
Yeah,
on Morrell Road, doing a Terrapin Beer. Hanging out with AA and those guys.
You need to get all your growlers filled up because you're going to need them for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then some.
Get you some Hop Executioner. Get all lit up on that. Except for you, Davey. See you.
See you, Bear.
Thanks for the call. Don't miss the drive this afternoon. 3-6, Morrell Road, Food City. They got, like, the bar in the grocery store.
Yeah, they got stools. It's awesome.
Yeah, drive's going to be there.
Big area.
Swing by. Get your growler filled up. Win some Terrapin swag. Might just be giving some away. I don't know. Had a bunch last time. Get out there and see them. Say hi to Russell and the gang.
I've got a question for after this break. A vibe question that I'm very interested. I have a certain scenario in my head, and I wonder what the feeling would be for Tennessee fans if this special scenario takes place.
We'll be right back with that next. Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Pick up some White Claw for the weekend. 5% alcohol by volume. Very low carb. White Claw Hard Seltzer, delicious flavors. It's White Claw Hard Seltzer made pure. Houston, do you want to...
Are you ready?
Lay out your scenario for the listeners?
Yes.
All right.
5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Tennessee is up 27-0. What's the vibe? How are you feeling at that point? Well, Tennessee comes out and just looks awesome. Legitimately awesome. They look like a different team. They're blocking. They're tackling. The throw game is on point. Defense is spectacular. It's a beatdown.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel? Like, there's just nothing. There's no negative in the first half. Like, it's amazing.
I'm just in wait and see mode. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for it to happen. I'm just waiting for the moment. In fact, I'm looking at last year's schedule. I'm trying to remember a game where I felt that way.
South Carolina? Maybe?
A little bit, yeah. In a weird way, I kind of felt like there was a stretch in the Missouri game, even though Tennessee only won 24-20. I felt like there was a stretch in that game where they were actually really playing good football. Because it wasn't that they were grinding it out with very conservative and play calls and just letting. Because, see, the problem with last year is Mississippi State played like ass when you beat them. South Carolina got off to a good start. It was a little back and forth. Tennessee played better in that game. But it still felt like you were just beating a team that wasn't playing very well at the end of the day. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't like, oh, yeah, awesome 20-point win against a really good South Carolina team. It just didn't feel that way. The Kentucky game was a train wreck. We were happy about it because we were winning, and winning cures all. I do feel like there was a point in the Missouri game where I'm like, you know, I think they're starting to get it. I think we're just mm-hmm. we're letting JG throw the ball, and he's making good decisions here for the most part. I can't remember all the stuff from that Missouri game. I know there was some bad, some good, some bad, but I don't trust them anymore. I don't know how you would.
Okay. Fast forward. End of the game. Mm-hmm. Tennessee has beaten Auburn 47-7. Again, the second the inevitable letdown never comes.
Yeah.
Tennessee just looks like a million bucks. Brand new. I mean, a football team you've never seen before. Let's say Harrison Bailey's the quarterback. Are you back in? Are you all of a sudden, whoa, hey, wait a minute. Okay. We might have found something here.
If you have a different quarterback and that happens and they genuinely play well for the whole game, then I'm kind of, with Jeremy Pruitt and his job status, I'm kind of in remember the Titans mode, but not that he has to win every game,
mm-hmm.
just that they have to play well in every game.
Mm-hmm.
So if you play well, you beat Vanderbilt. That's easy. There's a scenario where you could play pretty well and still lose to Florida. So I guess that you asking this question has gotten me to the point where I think Jeremy Pruitt's team has to play well, actually play well, not manage the game and survive, but actually play really good football for the last three or four games here. And if that happens, then I could, especially with a different quarterback, I'd be back in for 2021.
Okay.
But I can't have...
It would feel weird, though, wouldn't it?
I can't have those moments where Jeremy Pruitt's the reason we had to take a timeout because he tried to sub, you know, defensive guys while Auburn didn't sub and they're snapping the football. Or, you know, I can't have five false start penalties against Vanderbilt even though we win by 20. You know what I mean? I can't have the same... We beat Vanderbilt 40-20... But they ate us up on slant routes all day long, but we won the turnover battle 3-0 because they just did really stupid stuff. Like, that doesn't count. Like, they genuinely need to play good football the rest of the way. Because honestly, that's the only evidence that we could point to say something changed. Something has changed mm-hmm. over this weird 3-week stretch. If nothing's changed with the way the football program is being operated right now, it's a Band-Aid. Just rip it off as quick and as fast as possible.
Okay.
So they'd have to play near perfect, basically, for the rest of the season.
I'm not saying that bad things can't happen. I mean, if a guy catches the ball over the middle and he breaks away and he thinks he's in the clear and he's got the ball tucked pretty tight, but a dude just wrecks him out of nowhere and he fumbles, I'm not really counting that. Like, that's not...
You just can't have a bad stretch. You can't have like a third quarter against Arkansas.
You can't have a stupid stretch, I guess, where it's mm-hmm. just like, what are we even doing? You know, like, we don't even, like, bad things can happen because the other team makes good plays or because freak of nature physics, we'll call it, but we can't have just self-inflicted terrible, like, stuff that's just evidence of bad coaching. Right.
You can't be juggling quarterbacks and they all throw picks or something stupid like that.
Yeah. And we really can't just come out and be super conservative because that's not going to win you the Auburn game or the Florida game, and if there's an A&M game, that game. You're not.
Is that really on deck to be canceled? Like, does A&M have to make up a different game or something?
Don't they have that? Doesn't A&M have two games on December 12th right now?
I don't think any of them are officially scheduled, but they do have two they have to make up, I believe.
Well, I mean, on the FB schedules, which I would use because they're always on top of it, they have us scheduled with them for December 12th.
Well, how does that work, though? Like, say they have two games to make up. Could they not play a game on SEC Championship Saturday since they're not going to be in the SEC Championship? Could they not make up a game earlier that day?
Yeah, but I mean,
because see, they're so Ole Miss, they owe Tennessee a game and Ole Miss a game.
Okay,
because they're not playing this week. Those are the two.
Yeah, if it doesn't,
so could Ole Miss and Texas A&M play on the SEC Championship? I would think so.
Like a noon game.
I'm sure they could put them there as long as, I mean, I don't see Alabama dropping a game between now and then. And so if A&M doesn't have a chance to get
Alabama
to there
to
because
lose.
They have
Alabama
a tiebreaker.
Has to lose too, yeah.
So,
yeah, it's not going to happen.
It's possible.
Yep. All right. Oh, that's so sad. Couldn't hang on, huh?
Oh, we lost Zach?
Mm.
That's a shame.
Zach, if you're listening, you can call back. Well, I'd answer your question. What do you think, Davey? How are you going to feel?
I said it at first. I would be really shocked because I just don't see a world in which that's possible given what we've seen so far. I mean, like, it would have to just be...
I mean, that would be
it
the
would
most...
Have to be, it'd have to be like an offensive touchdown, a defensive touchdown, and a special teams touchdown to get to that point because this offense doesn't have the firepower. Like,
you're operating in reality. This is not reality. This is just what if the off... You know, I'm not saying we get cheap touchdowns. I'm saying we just look like a completely different football team.
I would...
Like, would that be
I
enough
would really
to make you
know,
think, oh, man, are we back? Are we good? Did we figure something out? Or would you just be, oh, this was fool's gold.
Let's
see the Vanderbilt game.
I would have to see something else. I would love to get the explanation for why it took this long for the offense to click and what
there you
was
go.
The reasoning.
See, that would be a big part of how I would feel. Like, where has this been? Because I think there would be a lot of that. Like, especially if it was Bailey, right? Well, why didn't we go to this earlier? Why didn't we try to salvage the season with him, you know, after pick six number two against Kentucky? Like, God, what on earth is this?
We've said it before. I mean, no matter what happens moving forward, they've screwed up the quarterback situation, and there's no way they can fix it because, one, you've stuck with the same guy for so long and it's not been any better. Two, if it's you got some other guys there and none of them play well, it's because you didn't develop them, or if one of them does show out, then why didn't you turn to them earlier?
Yeah. But then if you play well the rest of the season, could that get you back in?
Yeah, I mean, if you like beat Auburn, you beat Vanderbilt, and you keep it within a single possession of Florida and Texas A&M, like then, yeah this team's okay. Improved greatly, and I don't know why. But again, like you said, operating in reality, there's no evidence to suggest whatsoever.
No, sure, yeah, absolutely.
That's going to be the case, or it's even possible, really. I think I'm going to get kicked out of VFL.
You absolutely are. I told you, you're doing too much, man.
I'm asking questions. I'm not saying this is my thought
but you're,
process.
But you're just kicking the hornet's nest for no reason.
What do you mean no reason?
They give you enough content on their own.
Right. I'm like, staying with Houston on this.
You're trying too hard. Mm-hmm. Just let them do what they naturally do.
I'm having fun with it, though.
Yeah, then you're going to get booted, and you're not going to be able to collect it.
Should make a burner account.
Yeah, it's not very hard to get in there. You have to answer the question, are you a Tennessee fan?
Yeah.
That's the only process they have to allowing whether or not you
I'm
get
just
into
saying, like, you have inserted yourself into that environment, and that environment is at its best when they are on their own.
I will say I have found some of our listeners that don't operate on Twitter but are on Facebook, and they realize what I'm doing. They haven't, like, put me out and called me out or anything, but they've at least reached out. So that's interesting. I'm glad to see we have some listeners over there.
Mm. Just
we're everywhere.
You take a break from it.
I'm done posting in there
for a while. You need to take a break.
I've only put two posts, but I've commented on a lot.
Exactly.
Of posts.
Like just
it could be dangerous if
against
back
Missouri
to the
last
they're going
to
catch on to you.
Against Missouri last year, JG threw for 415 yards.
Right.
What?
But we only scored 24 points.
We outgained Missouri 526 to 280, and we only turned it over once. It's
late
it's,
when you're trying to ice the game.
It's almost a mathematical impossibility how this game was only 4 points. I'm not sure how that even, I can't even remember how that happened. It's like we drove the ball to, well, we missed a field goal, first of all. So that was a 58-yard drive, no points, because of missed field goal.
Mm-hmm.
You had a touchdown, 86-yard touchdown drive. You had a 75-yard touchdown drive. You had a 66-yard drive that ended in a field goal. You had a 33-yard drive that missed a field goal. 31-yard drive where you punted. 77-yard touchdown drive. You had a 44-yard drive where you fumbled. 26-yard drive where you punted. And you had 30 yards on the final drive of the game that just ended the game. So you missed two field goals. You had some drives where you got it out of your own territory, flipped the field, and punted.
Mm-hmm.
So you racked up all this yards, but it was a closer game than it should have been.
It's like the exact opposite of Kentucky putting up 150 yards and beating Mississippi State by 20.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you held Missouri to 20 points. Like, if we're holding SEC teams to 20 points, we should win every week. I mean, that's fine. Defense was good enough. Offense ran up plenty of yards. We just weren't good in the red zone, or even kind of in that fringe red zone area.
I mean, I think everyone is in agreement here, right? Like, our defense, it's not elite, but it's not the problem at all, right?
I've heard Bear on the Drive a lot talk about how bad the defense is, and it's...
Yeah, they're not good.
It's hard to grade, because if the offense was better, was just average, I feel like the defense would be at least average. But the offense puts the defense in such a bind that it's just hard to know. When you compare, though, the other teams that we just hope we're better than, I feel like our defense could be just as good as those teams. Like, Florida's defense has had their issues at times this year.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I would be okay if the defense, you know, you lose to, because what was their A&M score? I mean, it was up there, yeah, right? It was like, you know, 41-38 or something. Like, I could tolerate that. Like, the defense just has a bad game against a really good offensive team. It's going to happen, but you're still in it. I mean, our problem is we just can't score.
Right.
Like, this is an offensive problem for this football team.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like against both Georgia and Kentucky, we kind of, that next week, we're saying the defense looked good until they realized that the offense wasn't going to score.
Yeah, exactly.
And they kind of gave up.
I mean, no, it's part and parcel.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the defense has had their whiffs. Like Alabama, right? Like, I'm fine with that. Like, that Alabama's incredible on offense. We were never going to be in that game.
Alabama,
but we've got to be able to, I mean, it's an offensive problem. And it makes sense, right? That's what Will Muschamp has dealt with. That's what Jeremy Pruitt has dealt with. This year, a little bit for Georgia, like Kirby Smart, because you ran off Justin Fields and had to go with Stetson Bennett. Like, their offense has struggled.
Jamie Newman.
Him too.
The defense had the goal line stand at half against Georgia. Forced a fumble.
Another fourth down stop in that game also. We have forced I don't know if they forced a fumble. It was a bad snap. But they got the touchdown. True.
Well, no, I was thinking against Kentucky. Did they force that fumble?
Yeah, they did.
So before, we gave it back to Kentucky four times.
That's what's so weird to me. It's like Jeremy Pruitt's side of the ball. For what college football is today, like, defense is fine. It's not elite. It's okay. I mean, they've taken a little bit of a step back this year, but this year with an all SEC schedule and what offenses are doing, that's not a surprise. We just gotta figure out offense. And I don't know if that's Jeremy Pruitt doing more or much, much less. Like, more as in get a new coordinator, get a new, you know, or just backing off and letting Jim Chaney do what he does. Because this, I mean, I know Sam Pittman said, oh, yeah, Chaney'd run it 70 times if you'd let him. You ain't going to win games like that anymore. That's done.
Yep. That's just not going to work. We'll come back.
Spin the tater.
Final segment, hour two. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour two. We doing Vol for Life next, 9 o'clock. If Davey will quit meddling.
I have all our information ready.
Doing too much.
All right, that's good. I'm ready.
I sent it to y'all last night.
Heater wants to know, what about the opposite? The Vols are blown out 45-7. They look normally terrible.
Then we
do they run him out of town before Vandy?
I mean, that gives us the easiest.
Wouldn't that be the thing to do, is fire him before the Vandy game, and then your interim coach kind of gets a layup?
Who is it? Is it Jim Chaney? He's 1-0 as Tennessee's head coach, you know.
Man, I don't know.
Would it be T?
Would T get...
Isn't he technically associate head coach, T?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'd probably be T Martin.
Interesting.
Oh, no. What if the way we get rid of Jeremy Pruitt is that... Fulmer gives it to T. He beats Vandy. And then we're like not that bad against Florida, and they just give him the job.
At least he's an offensive guy. I mean, but played quarterback, won a natty. So did Winky, by the way.
I was looking back at some hot boards from when Jeremy Pruitt was hired, and T was actually on some of those.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of knew that wasn't a realistic possibility, but.
Did he get interviewed for it? Did Fulmer interview T for the head man job?
I don't think so.
I thought he interviewed him to just give him experience in the interview.
Oh, I don't know.
I
don't remember.
Or he just told him, T, you're not ready for it, but we'll find a way to get you on.
Or was he just interviewing for the eventual job he got on the staff anyway? Like, was it just like, let's talk about you coaching here in some capacity coming up? I don't know. Somebody, Kit said, up 27-0, I'm putting money on Auburn right then and there to come back and win. That's how you would feel.
I mean, probably get really good odds right there.
Yeah. Probably like plus 1,100.
I don't know.
You're just trying to find what could happen to change the narrative
right.
180 degrees.
I'm fascinated by what we're going to see tomorrow. I mean, there's a part of me that hopes that's exactly what happens, mm-hmm. that they make a quarterback change, that this, you know, the last 4 or 5 weeks has been building towards this new Tennessee team. But the reality is, you know, if Tennessee wins, it'll probably be close, it'll probably be ugly, and if we lose, there's a pretty good chance it is bad. Because if this, like, if let's say Auburn comes out and jumps up 14-0, at that point, there's no part of me that thinks, oh, yes, this Tennessee team has the fortitude, the toughness, the skill to make a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not – it's been a weird week. Like, we haven't known how to talk about this game. Like, oh, do we break down Seth Williams and Justin Schwartz and Bo Nick? No. But what takes place tomorrow night on that field will be – I mean, it's going to be must-see TV.
Yeah, it will be.
One way or the other.
It will be. David says, okay, have we ever thought that Jeremy Pruitt plays better against West teams because he has Saban's game plans memorized, and he is lost when it comes to East because Saban didn't give him the blueprint on every team to beat these teams? Just a thought.
He does have the blueprint on getting Tennessee losses.
Mm.
Never lost to him when he was at Alabama.
I did lose to him at Georgia, though.
You'd think that would help with the self-scouting on how to coach Tennessee, but it apparently hasn't.
Well, that's what's so baffling. Like, as a defensive coordinator, does he not scout Tennessee and say, hey, Jim, here's what we're doing wrong. Here's where we could really stress
right.
defenses.
Like, I don't understand that.
Isn't
that why Lane Kiffin says he's such a good offensive mind? It's because he would talk to his dad so much about what gave his defenses problems. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
That's what
you just gotta let him get his boys in here, man.
That's what Cutcliffe did. That's how Cutcliffe studies defenses. That's why his offense is so good.
We're still playing with Butch's guys.
Butch's guys might have saved the season last year.
No, they did. Batuli, Warrior, Jennings, Callaway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Tomorrow, it's gonna be something.
I don't understand how Jeremy Pruitt's not in this Dennis Dodd hot seat article. I mean,
because Dennis Dodd hates Tennessee, and he's like, I'm not giving them the satisfaction of seeing him on the hot seat.
He's got Jim Harbaugh, Derek Mason at level 5, which means win or be fired. And then
Harbaugh like this week,
like he has Ed Orgeron on there as a 3. Like
I've seen a lot of the Orgeron stuff. Like, how could it be so good to so bad so quick? Coaching changes.
Les Miles, these guys are 3. I guess those are guys whose seats have gotten hotter since he did this article last time. He's got Clay Helton holding steady at level 5. Just hanging on.
Yeah, they're undefeated.
Yeah,
they're 2-0, I think.
played like ass, but
yeah, it doesn't matter. COVID, undefeated.
Tom Herman's a four. What jobs do we need? What coaches do we need to win so Hugh Freeze has less options if we do make a move?
Clay Helton.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm trying to think. Orgeron.
Tom Herman.
No, I think Texas would they'd swing bigger. Right? I mean, I guess they could fall to Hugh Freeze.
These are other guys on the list. Chip Kelly, Scott Frost.
Frost will be
Jimbo
back.
Fisher and Manny Diaz, he has them as they've cooled off. You know, they're down to level twos because they've had such a good year.
Scott Frost is on the list?
Well, it says cooling off, but he's still at level four.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Vanderbilt's not going to be an like he's not choosing Vanderbilt.
We really helped the BYU coach cool off last year. Now they're undefeated, and he's back down to level one.
I mean, if he's wanting an easier route, he could go to Arizona.
Kevin Sumlin, yeah. Is he going to keep his job?
Virginia Tech, that's another one.
Hugh does not seem like a West Coast team. No. Nah, Virginia Tech. Now that's one because he's just right there. Yeah, and they think outside the box, man. I'm really surprised Fuente didn't do better there. I really liked Justin Fuente.
He was a name a lot of people wanted here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really surprised he hasn't been able to figure it out at Virginia Tech.
It shouldn't be hard either at Virginia Tech. I mean, the schedule, all that stuff.
33.5, boys. 33.5.
I'm not quite confident yet, but we're getting there.
Only 76 more bets to get to 34.5.
Sounds like a plan. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour 3. It's Vol for Life, y'all, next.